TC Nation, thank you for joining. Thank you for clicking on this sermon. And guess what? This week's a special week. My husband wrote a book. I'm so proud of you.
Baby,
and
thank you.
You're welcome. And we're so happy that you joined.
And I want you to know that the reason we wrote this book, Relationship Goals, was to help you win in relationships. And today we do believe this message is going to help you. All the content in this series, Relationship Goals Reloaded, is going to help you because we believe that you can win in relationships. No matter where you are, there is a brighter future for you. Maybe you just need to learn some things. So go get the book today at IamMikeTodd.com and enjoy this message as we all win in relationships.
Good morning, Transformation Church. Man, I am so glad that you are here with us today. And I know some of y'all are still on high from last week when we had what I'm calling now the Relationship Goals Revival is what it was. It was a revival. And if you're just joining us and you saw that clip, you're like, what are they doing? Basically, we were about to preach and then God came in and we worshiped for 2.5 hours. And but it was just what people's souls needed. We've seen the messages and the emails and the DMs saying that I needed that time to be able to get my perspective right. And God spoke to me and he healed our relationships. And I'm so excited that we are a part of a church that really follows God. And today we're doing the same thing. And if worship has been your weapon all week, I need you to type it in the chat right now. Come on, somebody needs to type in, worship is my weapon. I'm seeing people all over the world right now tuned in from almost every state. Worship is our weapon. But this is the thing we have to know about our weapons, is that God is so good that he doesn't just give us one. The word is our weapon too. See, this is the thing that I need everybody to know, because some people would love to just stay laid out and prostrate for 6 years, but then you have to get up and live something. You have to get up and confront some things. And so today, even though everything in me wants to just go back into this is how I fight my battles and I don't want to be crunk, I think it would be it would be wise for us to figure out what the word says about our relationships in a brand new way, because I want you to win in relationships. That's what this whole series is about. And somebody asked me, are you just doing that because it's popular? I said, no, I counsel a bunch of people. And when I counsel, every issue in their life, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whether it's something that they're dealing with anger, it always stems back to a relational issue. An issue with a parent, an issue with their first boyfriend, an issue with somebody that they work with. And if we can get relationships right, we can be able to get the life that God wants us to live. And I just feel this by the Spirit. Some of us are living a lower life than God intended for us because of the people that we are bringing into our life. The relationships that we are allowing to be a part of our life. I didn't mean to start off right like this all the way, but somebody needs to hear this. If we would get the right aim in our relationships, then we would be able to hit a goal. You cannot have a goal and then not aim. And this is what this entire series is. And I'm declaring over your life, all of your relationships, as you allow this to sit in your heart, all your relationships are getting better. Somebody needs to believe that. You need to type it by faith. All my relationships are getting better. All the relationships that I have and the ones that I shouldn't have, they're exiting right now. Come on, somebody needs to have the faith to say it. All my relationships are getting better. And everything that's not like God, to the left, to the left. I think that was Psalmist Beyonce in the name of Jesus. Well, today we are starting week 5. Of a series we're calling Relationships Goals Reloaded. Y'all, now I need a sound effect. Put me a sound effect in here right now when I do this again, because everybody needs to do this. We're starting a series called Relationship Goals Reloaded. Oh, that sounded good. That was nice. And the reason I say we're reloaded, because I think if we really do look at what God wants for us, we would be loaded for every relationship that we come in contact with. That's why in week one of this relationship, hey, we said we're going to make the principles of God, not what culture says, not what everybody else says, not what our big mama taught us about relationship, our Uncle Jerry taught us. We're going to say all that is our experience, but we're going to go back to the creator and the manufacturer of a product. Because until you go and get the maker's mind on what the product is, you will always abuse it. So we made the principles of God the first thing. And then y'all know what we started doing. We started ripping up lists. And we didn't rip up lists for 1 week. We had to rip up lists for 2 weeks. And then last week, y'all already know what happened. We went into a relationship goals revival. I say all of this to say that when I created these resources, y'all know about the book, but I wanted to talk about this study guide. And I'm not trying to sell anything. I'm trying to help you win. If you answer the questions that are in this book about your relationship, and you should even do it with a group of people, it's one of those things that's going to start unfolding what's in you and allowing God to define what he wants to bring out of you. And this is, why are you telling us all this, Pastor Mike? If you look the same next year relationally as you do this year, it's your fault. I'm gonna say it one more time. All of these resources, all of this word, all of this other stuff. If you look the same relationally, well, he just keeps cheating on me. You stayed there. Well, they just don't understand my value and this and that and that. And God says, I'm trying to give you light right now. Revelation. That's what God wants. He wants you to have revelation for your relationship. Somebody put that in the chat. I want revelation for my relationships. What does revelation mean? Just revealed truth. That means if it's there and it's covered, I need to see it. I want God to uncover the things that are wrong. Somebody needs to hear that. If the relationship is there, but it's covered up and it's actually something that's not good, or it's actually something that's not good, give me revelation, God. I want you to reveal. I want you to uncover the people who are not for me. I want you to uncover the issues that I have in my heart. I want you to uncover where I'm still walking in pride and I won't forgive. Give me revelation for my relationships. And when we get revelations for our relationship, it changes everything. And so today's message was sparked by a conversation I had with a young lady. And she said, Pastor Mike, I love your relationship goal series. I done watched the last one 3 times. And this one, I always keep on repeating. I send it to all my friends. She said, I'm just ready to find my person. And I said, what? She said, I'm prepared and ready to find my person. You know, your person, the person who's made just right for you, the person that is supposed to get you and understands you and be able. I don't know why I talk like that when I do that, but it's just how she was talking. But she was like, my person. And I started to ask her, I was like, okay, so what is this person like? And she began to list some things out. And I could obviously see she hadn't watched part 1 and 2. She said she was following the series, but she wasn't. But she started to list out all these things, and I was like, okay, that's awesome. And I was like, what happens when you find this person? Do you change? Do you become something else? Do you start doing something now because you have a person? And she began to look at me. And she was like, what are you trying to say, Pastor Mike? Because, you know, everybody's thinking I'm trying to preach to him, and I kind of am. But at the end of the day, I said, do you know that God has purpose for you before a person? And it was almost like I cussed at her. She was like, and I was like, she was like, no, but I'm telling you, my life really is going to take off when I get with my person. Because I got plans. And I was like, baby girl. Before the person, you have purpose. And I came to tell somebody right now, because I believe there's many people all around the world that are watching this, that are waiting on somebody to press go on what God's already called you to do. And God wants you to know that before a person, you have a purpose. And I just want you to say that. Somebody say, I have a purpose. You may not fully know what it is right now. You may be still discovering what it is. You may be in a place where you're asking God what it is, but I want you to know you got it. you got one, and nothing is supposed to be hinged on somebody else before you start taking steps in faith towards your purpose. Just say it one more time. I have a purpose. So I want you to write that down as a point. Before the person, you have a purpose. Because I really think, Charles, there's some extremes that people err on one side or the other. And I'm not telling you which camp you're in right now, but you might be in one of them. See, a lot of people that don't have a person yet, all my single people, if you're single in the house, put yeah in the chat. You might find your husband. Stop putting yeah in the chat. Somebody just kept putting yeah 100 times. Stop that. But a lot of people that don't have a person yet, they feel like their purpose is on pause until they find the person. Yeah. And I meet these people all the time. And inversely, people who do have a person, they are married, they're in the relationship. A lot of times they make the relationship the reason why they cannot fully pursue their purpose. Wow. Well, we had kids and we got a business and we did this. And God said, I factored all of that in when I called you. I made provision and I still want something from you. I told the woman this the other day, or not a woman, a couple this the other day. I said, God didn't mean for your kids to be the blessing that replaced your purpose. I didn't give you kids to now stop for 18 years to be able to cater to everything. He said, those 18 years, I still need something from you. That whole time that you're going to soccer tournaments, and that's part of the purpose, and part of the purpose is to raise them in the way that they should go so that when they're old, they don't depart. But that does not sum up who you were created to be. I need to tell some parents right now who put their purpose on pause that it's time to push play on your purpose. Somebody needs to hear me right now. I'm getting excited. It's time for you to push play on your purpose because God is not waiting for a time when everything is just right. Can I tell you this? There will never be a right time where you are never, ever needed somewhere else to start doing what God's called you to do. So you might as well start today. And because people aren't finding the person, or they do have the person, they feel like either I can't do my purpose and it needs to be on pause, or I have too much to do that I can't make my purpose, my purpose a priority. And today I'm coming to unlock both of those extremes. I'm coming to say, if you're breathing, you have a purpose. And if you have a purpose, it's time for you to press play. Somebody put it in the chat. It's time to press play. Some of you have books on the inside of you. Some of you, I didn't know this book was inside of me. But at the moment that I pressed play on what God had put in me, he already started a plan that was going to transform other people's life. People are waiting on you to press play. Wow. There's a wall in somebody's house that's going to be bare until you paint the picture. See, come on. Do y'all see? There's a playlist right now that needs your song on it. Wow, come on. But until you press play, I don't know who this is for, but I'm telling, somebody has pushed pause on their purpose, and God's saying, you don't need not another person to press play. I need, before you get one more friend, one more connection, one more good networking tip, God says, press play. He says, because when you press play, that means you trust me. And when you trust me, I'm better than any connection that you could ever have. I'm the best PR agent you've ever had. I'm the best book publisher you could ever want. I am the best manager in the world, but you have to have faith enough to press play. Yeah. It's time for purpose to start running rampant. I don't know. I just feel that thing so hard, Justice. Press play on your purpose. And when you press play on your purpose, things begin to move in your life. But all of this happens before a person. And I understand why, because everybody has this idea and this image that they want the happily ever after. And let's be honest, like put it on the screen because somebody needs to see that. Happily ever after. Doesn't that sound nice? Now, I don't know what your happily ever after looks like. But usually in your happily ever after, there's a person. Come on, let's be honest. Some of y'all got fantasies. You see some big swole 9 abs. That ain't even an even number. Got another one on his belly button, like 9 abs and big swole, can sing, long hair. And no matter what it's doing, it usually has a person attached to it. And I don't know, but what are some of the characteristics? Maybe you can help somebody. What are some of the characteristics you think are essential for your person? Come on. Somebody, I know in the chat, they saying right now that they tall. Somebody else is saying, you know what I'm saying, that they got a little junk in the trunk. I know somebody else is saying that they're funny. I know somebody else is saying that the characteristics I need in my person is they got a couple coins. they got a little money, huh? I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no anyway. But no matter what your happily ever after looks like in your mind, I think that we need to really look at the happily ever before. Because many people never get the happily ever after because they weren't intentional in the happily ever before. Oh, I'm about to preach this today. I don't know who this is for, but many of us are looking to another season that will be cut short or sabotaged by the lack of intentionality in the season before it. And that's why God is saying to us today, I feel it so strong, that if you want a happily ever after, you need to be focused on the happily ever before. If you want the happily ever after for your marriage, for your kids, for your business, you need to hunker down right now and get intentional about the happily ever before. I ain't never heard nobody preach about that before, huh? Yeah. Because before the money, before the kids, before the titles, before the relationships, before the person, God says, I have a purpose for you. So let's go back to the beginning. I need everybody to open your Bible because we can't find the happily ever before from just somebody who's older than us. We got to go to something that outlasts everybody on the earth right now. And that's the word of God. And some of you are like, that's just a book written by men. Listen to me. This is the only thing that has withstood every transition, every war, every racist attack, every economy downturn. The word of God, the Bible says it like this. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God remains forever. So we're going to go to the beginning. We're going to go to before man ever got another person. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. It says, then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man, right, underline, circle place, put a little highlight on that. There he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and trees that produced, underline produced, delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Drop down to Genesis 2:15. It says, then the Lord God placed the man in the garden. So somebody's there, okay? You're in the garden. And he said, he placed him in the garden to tend, circle and highlight tend, and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except, somebody underline except, ooh, I'm about to preach this, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you will surely die. Look at verse 18. It says, Genesis 2:18, then the Lord God said, after he did all of that, you know what? I've done a lot of work in these past few days. Like Genesis 1, if you go back and watch it, he was like, you know what? It's too dark in here. Let there be light. And then he says, it was good. Yeah. And then he says, you know what? I don't like it all being one type of thing. Water, land, split. It was good. Vegetation. He then made cabbage and mustard greens and turnip greens and kale for all the people who are trying to watch their weight. It was good, he says. Then he says sun and moon and calls it good. sea creatures, Nemo, Willy, it was good. Wild animals, Timon and Pumbaa, it was good. And the first time he says it's not good is Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord said, you know what? After all I've done, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So I got good news for everybody. God wants you to have a person. So that's the first thing I need everybody to realize right now is that God said, it ain't good for you to be alone. And however you are and with all your quirks and all your things, it ain't good for you to be alone. So I'm gonna give you a person, but I want to not focus on the person today. I want to focus on all the other things God gave to Adam before he gave him the person. See, because everybody read that and you heard the end that then he made a helper suitable for him. And that's what you're waiting on. Like, will you just please go ahead and make me the helper? But that was the seventh thing God gave to man. Did you find all six of them? See, that's why we have to read the word and ask God to illuminate to us, because there were six things that God gave to a man and a woman before he gave them their person. And today, I want to help you see this, because God's plan is for you to have relationship. And I understand some people say, well, everybody don't get married. Yeah, yeah. Everybody has the ability to make a choice. And if you don't want to get married, it's all good. But even if it's not in a marriage relationship, God wants relationship for everybody. I don't care if you're introverted. I don't care if you're somebody who's been hurt in the past. He heals us through relationship. He delivers us through relationship. He cultivates us through relationship. You looking at me, but I don't see me. If I don't have a relationship with somebody, I could have something on my face and would never know. And many of us who are isolated, I feel this right now, that there are people that have been living isolated, like, I ain't going to be hurt no more. I don't mess with nobody. I do my own thing. And God says, what you're doing is stunting your growth. Because you won't let any other person in your life. But God wants relationship for you. I hear him saying it right now, because he wanted it for Adam. And you don't think that he wants it for you? If he wanted it for the first person on the earth, I'm going to give you scripture for it. Ecclesiastes 4:9. It says two people are better than one. I won. Look, two people are better than one, for they can help each other. Watch this. Succeed. So this, you got to read in between the lines of the Bible. Like, so there is a qualification of the relationships you should have, is that if you're in a relationship with somebody and be like, well, that's my person, the way you know it's something that is good for you and God for you is two are better than one only if they help you succeed. Are the relationships you are in right now helping you succeed, or do they make you more like how you don't want to be? Do they make you do things that you vowed never to do? Do you gossip with those people and you're trying to change your language? Are those the people that discourage you instead of encourage you? Are those the people that you stay around because of time served? Wow. You don't want no new best friends. No new friends, but you are staying the same. And the reason you're staying the same is because you are not getting people around you who are helping you succeed. If you're always living in the glory days, that means you're not making new memories. If you're always talking about what we did in college and remember last summer and I can't wait to turn up again, God is saying, is that what you're living for? I need you to get around some people that'll help you succeed. So I want relationship for you, but help make sure they're people that'll help you succeed. Because two are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. And this is the reason if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. Man, I didn't mean to just preach this that much, but that means if you fall and your friend is down there with you, the whole reason of having relationship is for when one falls, the other's at another level that they can reach down with grace and help them up. The problem is most of us are tripping with the people we call friends. So what ends up happening is all the stuff I deal with is the stuff they deal with. And we made a relationship based on dysfunction. I gotta run. Why? Because many of us will not do the work on the inside to be in a relationship with somebody who actually calls more out of us. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. But what we usually do is get with people who make us comfortable, and we develop relationships out of dysfunction, and then we start to stay in the place, I'll call it this, the fallen place, for so long that we think it's normal. Some of us think it's normal to talk about people. Some of us think it's normal to steal. Some of us think it's normal. Like, and the only reason we think it's normal with those people around us is because they do the same thing. But look what God says. He says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help the other one. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Let me give you a point. God wants a relationship with you, and God wants a relationship for you. Those are two of the main reasons that God sent Jesus. Because he wants relationship with you, he sent Jesus. He said, because they busted and disgusted after Adam and Eve did what they're going to do in a few chapters. I got to make a way for them. So I sent Jesus so that I can have relationship with you. And I don't know if there's somebody watching right now who feel like you've done too much and you're so far away from God. I did too. And I want to say me too. But that's what the love and the grace of God does, is it makes a way for you to have relationship with God. But he doesn't just want relationship with you. He wants relationship for you. So I say it like this. Because he wants relationship with you, he sent Jesus. Because he wants relationship for you, he sent Jerome. And it can be Jerry or Jeannie or whoever else's name it is. But he wants relationship for you. Somebody just say that. God wants relationship for me. Come on. Somebody, that is a faith statement for somebody, because some of you have been so hurt that you said, I don't want relationship with anybody else. I'll be good. I'll keep people. Y'all know, I call them Heisman friends, like, hey, how you doing? But they always have this, because I'm trying to protect myself from whatever you might do. And God's saying, no. I want relationship for you. But before the person, before we get to the happily ever after, I gave you six things that I desire for you in the happily ever before. Let me give them to you, because some of y'all are like, tell us, Pastor Mike. The first thing that God is giving to every person in the happily ever before is his presence. God wants you to have his presence before you have a person. Now, everybody's like, oh, snap, I thought I already did have God's presence. I thought he was everywhere at all times. You know, one of the craziest thing about something is something can be there, but you don't acknowledge it. Like it's one of those things that somebody could be in the room. Oh, I love this analogy. Like right now, if there was a millionaire in a crowd of people and somebody was like, a millionaire is here, it wouldn't make a difference because we don't know which millionaire is where they are. But if the millionaire stood up and said, hey, I'm the millionaire, and he made his presence known, then we would have the opportunity to either ignore or acknowledge that he was in the room. Many people right now know God is around, but you have ignored him, and God is saying, today I need you to acknowledge me and acknowledge my presence. Can I break it to you? Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Get a picture right now. He's dust, forms him up, breathes into him. What's the first thing he's going to do? What's the first thing that every baby does when they come into the earth to figure out their new surrounding? They open their eyes. And when they open their eyes, they're going to be in the presence of whoever is there. When Adam opened his eyes for the very first time, he was in the presence of God. What God told me, he said, is before you ever get a person, I painted this picture so that you would know that every time you get breath, remember, he breathed his breath into him. Every time you would get a breath for another 24 hours and you open your eyes, I want you to spend time in my presence. He literally said, from my presence, everything else is going to flow. From my presence, everything else is going to be taken care of. But he literally gives us the ability. Y'all know, we, if God wanted to, we could just stay up 24 hours. Like, if he wanted to, see, y'all don't think like this a lot of times, but if God wanted us to, we'd never have to sleep. I think he put sleep in there to remind us of how he formed Adam, that he took him from nothing, he gave him breath, he opened his eyes, and he was in the presence of God. So every time you go to sleep and God gives you another night of breaths, when you open up, I feel the presence of God right now. When you open up your eyes, you should make it a point to spend time in the presence of God. That's why the first thing I say when I wake up is, thank you, Lord. You are so good. Thank you for what you're doing. I spend time creating a time for me and him to be in the presence. That's why Adam walked in the cool of the day. He wasn't worried about nothing because he spent time with him. Do you know that most of your worry comes from not spending time with God? When we talk about making God bigger or, oh, magnify the Lord with me, the only way you can magnify something is if you see it. And if you see it and you get closer to it, that's what magnification is. It's making something that looks far look closer, because either something is making it look closer or you're getting closer to it. And what I'm telling you is, God is saying today, I feel it so strong, is that he needs you to acknowledge his presence before your person. Oh, this works even if you're married, because some of y'all barely talk to your spouse and God really ain't getting talked to. And he's saying, I need you to come back to the heart of why I created you, is to spend time with me. And I believe that even in this moment right now, even though we're on the first thing that God is saying, he's saying that I want your presence because I've already given you my presence. And this week, I believe somebody's going to take that for real. What if we did a challenge and for 7 days, before you got on Instagram, before you called anybody, before you did anything else, you carved out a time to get in God's presence? Oh, you don't want to be challenged, huh? I told you I was reloaded. I don't want you to listen to this. I want you to transform through this. And today God's saying, I got a person, but before the person, you need my presence. And can I talk to the ladies for a second? Ladies, I said, ladies, don't ever date a man who doesn't know how to get in God's presence. Why, Pastor Mike? Because if God's not speaking to him, he will not know how to handle you. The only way that I know how to do everything in my life is I go to the one who created the one I'm supposed to be with. And many ladies are trying to find a man outside of the presence and drag him to the presence. And you will never be able to get a man to go where he wasn't already found. You will never be able to make him what you hope he is. And that's why you need to be praying for him, but you need to be standing with him, but you can't pull him. And that's why I'm begging you, young ladies who are single, stop going after him. And he got a good heart and he's doing good and he all right. And stop trying to pick up a project. Find a man in his presence. Because if you find a man in his presence, then he'll be able to lead you. He'll be able to stay. Oh, okay, I got to get off of that because somebody's offended. And to my married women who have already picked up a project and you sit next to them, calm down. Don't. This is not the time where you divorce them, because the Bible tells you the faith of one woman can save an entire household. You keep believing. You keep speaking life over him and over them. And fellas, let me help you understand this. Don't date her because she look good. Date her because she can get lost in God. When she can get lost in God, do you know there are many arguments that me and my beautiful wife have? We'll just call them heated discussions. That me and Natalie have that neither one of us win because we go back to our corners and God deals with both of us. And when he deals with you because we're in his presence, I come back and I apologize. She's like, no. I apologize. I'm like, no. Let me apologize first. And then we arguing about who's apologizing. Pray for us, okay? What I'm saying to you is a relationship without a goal is pointless. But a relationship without God is senseless. And many of us are having relationships without God's presence. I could stay there all day, but I need to keep moving, okay? So the second thing that you need to understand, number one, is to get a happily ever after, God's presence is before the person. Number two, what does God desire for you? Is he desires for you to have a place. Let me prove it to you right now. Genesis 2:8. Somebody bring me that charger. My iPad about to die, and I got to give this word a full throttle right now. It says, then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he place the man. This means that the place you hate, but you seem to be in, may be God's place for you, not your preference. Adam did not get a brochure and say, hey, can you pick out of all of these locations of where you would like to be? Do you want to be Eden in the West, or do you want to be at this place? All God said was, hey, this is your place. And he had to be content with where God, everybody say, placed him. And the problem is your family, yeah, they're crazy, but God placed you there. Your job, you hate it because they don't pay you enough, but God placed you there. The city you're in, maybe God placed you there. I get people all the time asking, so when you moving from Tulsa, bro, you big time, bro, when you moving from Tulsa, I tell them never. Until God moves me. I said, yeah, Tulsa has a little airport. Yes, Tulsa is not near any beach or any real water. Yes, every restaurant closes at about 10 o'clock in Tulsa. And yes, these people crazy. But at the end of the day, this is my place. And a lot of people go down a checklist of what they don't like. I'm about to move to LA. I'm about to move to New York. You better not move away from your place, the place that God puts you, because your favor is not in where you would like to be. Your favor is in where God left you. So if I move from Tulsa trying to go to a bigger market on my own and try to get Transformation Church to blow up, all the favor would leave. And many of us are living in places right now where there is no favor. We're living in a place where there is no provision. We're living in a place because we got out of the place that God had for us. Before God gives you a person, he wants you to have his presence, and he wants you to be content in the place. Well, Pastor Mike, I hate this place. But maybe there's something at that place that you don't know you need, that you can't go to the next place until you get it. I think about my life in so many different facets. At the time when I was serving in youth ministry and not getting paid, let me say it again. Mom, did y'all ever pay me at Spirit and Truth for doing youth ministry? Not a dime, she said. For 3 years, every week, I was planning, preparing. We took them kids on trips, all them baby kids. We did all of this other stuff, and not $1 increased in my account. Wow. But God had placed me there. Yeah. I didn't do it because I had to. I did it because I was placed. Yeah, that's good. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody was about to make a move that God said, I'm not in that. Yeah. It's like the same moment where right before me and Natalie were about to get married, I got an offer as a music producer to move to New York for 1 year to make over $100,000 at the age of 22. And I don't know if you've ever been 22 and broke, but for your boy, that was like, God has answered my prayer. And I had the presence of mind to pray about it. Uh-oh, what did I do? I went to his presence. And I asked God, if I move to New York just for 1 year, Lord, that ain't really that bad, right? Like, I mean, I leave Tulsa, I move to New York, I make some cheese. And he said, that's not your place. Wow. This was his exact words to me. And I've told this to several people. He said, if you go, you'll be successful, but I'll take my hand off of everything you do. And it scared me. I knew I wasn't that good, so I just jumped back right in broke Tulsa. And I stayed there. Now, what would have happened? Because God saw this when I was trying to get out of place. And I wonder what God sees for you right now. While you're trying to maneuver and move, God says, I see something up ahead that is a part of your purpose, that is a part of my plan, but you can't get out of place. Somebody say, stay in place. Put that in the chat. Stay in place. Because before the person, God wants you to have his presence, and he wants you to be in the place that he's called you to be. So to get a happily ever after, God's place is before the person. Let me tell you the third thing. This is what God desires for you before the person. He desires for you to have provision. Let me prove it to you. Verse 9. Then the Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground. Trees that were beautiful and that produced, that gave provision. God never would put his child in a situation that there is no provision from him in. Here's another qualification. If you know you're outside of the will of God, if the place you're in has no provision from God, you may be in the wrong place. I just want to be very clear, because so many people come up to me, I'm just going to step out on faith. No, you're stepping out on dumb. Because a lot of people, crazy faith. No, that's stupid. You didn't find that plan out in his presence. And so before the person you're trying to connect with and all that stuff, God says, go to my presence and I'll tell you where the place is, and my place will be confirmed by provision. I'll provide for you in that place. You'll be able to see very clearly if it's me or not, even when it's a hard season. Can I prove it to you? Let's just go back to the children of Israel. When they were coming out of slavery, the Bible says that God took them to the wilderness because he was trying to get something out of them that was in them. He said, they were slaves, but I'm trying to make them sons. So I got to take them through an 11-day hard season so that they can be able to get this. And while they were in that season, there was a new food group that formed from the earth. It dropped every morning like dew, and it was called manna, which translated means, what is it? That means every morning they woke up and was like, I'm hungry. And they went outside and was like, ugh, what is it? And it was provision. Your provision may not be your taste. It might not be provided like you want it, but it will sustain you in the season you're in. And what happens when you do not have the right attitude in the place that you're supposed to be in is you end up eating what was supposed to last you 11 days for 40 years. They were only supposed to eat manna, that provision, for 11 days. And because they complained, and they didn't get into the presence of God, and they didn't appreciate the place, and they didn't appreciate even their pastor, Moses, they turned an 11-day journey into a 40-year death. And what I'm saying to you is, yeah, if you get in God's presence before a person and you get in the place, no matter how dry the season is, God will provide. No matter how, somebody needs to hear that right now, because your businesses, you're trying to figure out during Corona, how is this going to happen? And God says, this ain't the time to move. This is not the time to start acting. It's time to get in my presence. Before you go seek another person and get another loan and do all this other, get in my presence. Get back to the basics, and I'll tell you the place to go, and I will provide. Somebody say, God will provide. Say it with faith. God will provide. Somebody needs to hear that for your wedding that you're planning. God will provide. For the thing that you're believing for your children, God will provide. For those student loans that need to be paid back, God will provide. Somebody say it again. God will provide. When you walk with God in his presence and you're in the right place, you walk around knowing that I ain't got it, but he does. God will provide. Imagine how gangster it was every day for Adam to wake up and not worry. What up, God? Yeah, man. There's some good fruit. I love this place I'm in. I know there's some other places out here, but you put me here. So this must be the best place for me right now. And I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'd like to have a person. But your presence, your place, and your provision, it's doing all right now. You got anything else for me? And God said, yup. See, if you want the happily ever after, God's provision is before the person. But also, God wants to shape your personality before you get with the person. That word personality literally means the combination of characteristics or quality that form an individual's distinct character. It's an identity. God wants to give you an identity in him before you ever get with the person. This is where so many people mess up because they think how they are right now is their identity. No, that's what culture, the world, and your family put on you. But what God is saying is, I gave you an identity because I made you in my image. Can I prove it to you? Genesis chapter 126, 20, not 26. This is the relationship goal series. We good. Don't edit it out. 26. Natalie, I'm coming. All right. We'll get to that at the end of this series, too. I'm going to talk about sex. I'm going to talk about all of it because I don't want anybody to come and get these things defined by people who don't go to the presence of God. When I was raised, all they said was don't have sex before you get married. Well, I messed that up several times, and I had no playbook of how to live my life. And I want us to define things as a church. I'm getting mad now. I want the church to be the one to talk about things and not let culture be the one that defines it for our kids. And then we're trying to undo stuff and the stuff that you dealt with that nobody still, you 52 and nobody ever talked to you about how to have a relationship. We're breaking that in the church. We're going to stand up and we're going to talk about everything that God talked about. Calm down, Michael. But God wants you to have a personality. And the reason it says that in Genesis 1:26, he said, then God said to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit sitting in having a conference, he said, hey, let us make human beings in our, what's this next word? Image. To be like themselves. To be an individual. To be what nobody's ever seen before. Look what the Bible says. Let us make them in our image or our identity to be like us. And that's why God says the reason you need some time before you get with the person, or the reason even if you are with the person is you need to allow God into your heart to be able to work on some things, is because I want to give you a personality that looks like me and a personality that reflects or has my ID in it. And that's what God is saying. And I want to give you an example, a practical example. Can you put the picture of my kids up here real quick? These are my three babies. They're so scrumptious. My daughter Isabella just graduated from kindergarten last week. I'm emotional. And I have Ava, she's 2, and MJ, he's 4. Now, if you look very closely at my children, and you can go to Instagram and look at all my children are very different. They have different personalities because somebody's here is like, I ain't gonna be like nobody else. No. You can have different personalities, but all of my children, when I look at them, I see me in them. This is what God is saying to us. He said, the reason that before a person, I want to help shape and cultivate your personality is because when I look at a picture of you, I need to be able to see me. We may not have the same exact features. All my kids is lighter than me because of their mama, have an Indian in her family. They got better hair than your boy. I got to put 1,000 products. They just put water and it just bleh. What I'm saying is, but when I look into MJ's eyes, though he has different hair, different personality, I see myself. When I look at Bella, I see myself. When I look at Ava, I see myself. And the question God is asking you is, can he see you in you? Wow. Yeah. in the way you handle situations, in the way you love your kids, in the way that you think of yourself. Do you know he calls you a masterpiece? Do you see? Do you see yourself how God sees you? And God's saying, that's why you got to give me some time before a person. Or even if you are with a person, I need you to go back around and get this one, because I need to get your identity to be an image of me on the earth. I want you to walk in love before a person. I want you to be able to forgive before a person. I want you to be able to be humble before a person. I want you to be able to think of others. And many of us, the sad truth about it is when God looks at us, it's like a Maury Povich episode. Y'all ever seen them people up there? He don't even look like me. And people are out here defending. But then there's always that one kid that look exactly like the daddy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, they both cross-eyed, and one eye go to the left and have, like, a mole right here. And both of them had it. It's like, you don't even look like me. What God is saying to us is, I never want to have to show up and defend if you look like me or not. I don't want to have to come to entertainment and to government and to the education and say, no, for real, that's my kid. He said, would you allow me before the person to not just give you a happily ever after, but give you a happily ever before? I will cultivate the things in your life that you don't even like right now and make them into the things. And this is the thing about it in Genesis 2:8. He said he placed the man in the garden that he had made. He was proud of us. He claimed us with all of our flaws, with all of our mess ups. I don't care about what my kids look like, because other people's kids is ugly to me, but not mine. Oh, y'all gonna be fake? Y'all gonna be fake like that? Y'all know y'all done looked at other little babies and be like, they little alien babies. Your baby looked like an alien too, but they didn't, because they were yours. And God says the same thing about you. Everybody else can think you're ugly. Everybody else can think you're worthless, but you're my kid. And when you're my kid, I'm proud of you. And God says, that's the thing I need you to know. That's that you're mine. And I wanna give you my personality, because that's what God gives. Before he gives a person, the fifth thing he gives is purpose. Yep. And I know this is that big question. How do I know my purpose? Pastor Mike, I've been fasting for 98 days trying to find my purpose. I get this question all the time. And the truth is, I'm not God. And number two is that I've discovered a little secret about purpose, because when we see it in verse 15, it said, the Lord God placed the man in the garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. He had a purpose to tend, which means to work, to be passionate about one's calling, to cultivate, to look after. And I begin to look at this. Tend means literally to pay attention and apply oneself. So when you think about your purpose, I don't think your purpose is a destination, like I've reached my purpose. I think purpose is revealed as you tend to what's in front of you right now. It literally makes me think of Colossians 3:23 that says, whatever you do, even if it's not what you think you're going to be doing, whatever you do, work. Everybody say work. That means before you have a person, you need a job. We'll talk about that later. Work. At it with your whole being, whatever you do, for the Lord and not for man. My question to you is, maybe your purpose is less about what you're doing and more about how you're doing it. Maybe if the season you're in, and I don't like it, but it's part of my purpose. Do you know, now that I look back, hindsight is 20/20. When we talk about this thing, like when I look back, it's like, oh, that was created. I was created to do that. Do y'all know when I was in high school that for some reason they asked me to lead all the pep rallies at my school? I hated it. I didn't want to do it. They didn't give me a pass to not do the classwork that I missed to prepare for the pep rally. But now, every Friday, I would get in front of thousands of students, wow, black, white, young, old, faculty, staff, wow, and I would have to keep their attention and present to them every Friday for an hour and a half. I didn't want to do it at the time, but when they asked me, I was going to give it everything I had. I dressed up. I remember this one time, I looked like a hot fool. I'm going to post it on Instagram this week. I had on like a baseball sock that I cut on my arm. I had on like that glow-in-the-dark paint stuff. I was posing with my friend. I looked dumb. But I was tending to what was in front of me. Who would have thought 20 years later that my profession, that other people would recognize as my purpose? Oh, you're Pastor Mike, you have a purpose, boy. You just get up on that platform and all. No. My purpose was when I was in high school leading those pep rallies, I was in my purpose.
Come on, yeah.
And I don't know, but some of you are discounting what God's counting on. Some of us are saying, I need to find my purpose. And God is like, if you would just do that one thing and keep doing that Bible study and keep going to that place and keep drawing that art and keep talking to those people. He was like, you do it as you're doing it unto me, not unto them. He said, that is going to be the thing that reveals what God has called you to do. And that's why every day Adam woke up before a person, before Eve's fine tail came through there, strolling so bad that he was like, whoa, man. Like, that's why I just called won't. You'll get it later. But that's what he was doing. Adam, before the person, was what? In God's presence. He was in the place that God called him. He had provision there. He had a personality that was formed in the image of God. And he was working his purpose. And my question to you is, what do you need to do this week to start working your purpose again? Let me give you the last thing. Because I believe that these truths are about to make some of y'all go back this week and write all of this stuff down and start asking God, go back to his presence, saying, God, I need you to show me. I need you to show me what I need to do and how I need to do it and what I need to let go of and what I need to go for. And literally, he says the last thing that he gives him before the happily ever after, he gives him parameters. Can I prove it to you? Genesis 2:16. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden, except, everybody say except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat that fruit, you will surely die. Now, this is the part where people get bothered. Like, this is the part where people stop, like, listening and try to get frustrated at what's happening. Because why would a loving God give us parameters? Why would God not just let us, you know, do what our hearts desire? It's the same reason that any parent doesn't let their child do anything that they want to do, even if it seems fun to them. It's for their protection. Somebody needs to write this down. Parameters are for protection. Everything that God has not allowed you to do and everything that has not worked was not a punishment. It was for protection. God knew how much you could handle. God saw you in your position, and he just gave us an accept. And many of us go past the accept of God. He's saying you can have a relationship with them, but except you can't take it to that level. And God's saying is when you pass that, you step outside of my parameters for you. Before I give you a person, that's why God says, and this is so much revelation right now because nobody explained it to me. That's why God says don't have sex before you get married. It was for protection. It wasn't a punishment. He was trying to give you parameters so by the time you found your person, you weren't used up. Yeah. He was trying to give you protection so that those things that now you're praying for healing from, you never had to experience in the first place. That's the God we serve. And if my daughter Isabella right now, I know I'm using my kids a lot, but I want you to get an image of a loving God. When if my daughter Isabella was like, Daddy, can I have a car when I get 16? And I was like, yeah. Matter of fact, I love you so much. You're six, right? I'm going to give you your car now. Here's the key, because your daddy loves you. Here's the keys to your new car, girl. Go out there and drive it. Your daddy loves you. I would be an irresponsible father. Because I did not set parameters for my daughter. I gave her what was hers, but prematurely. And she would go out and be unprotected. And the very thought of losing my daughter because of something I gave her. Wow.
I wonder how God must feel when he gives you the answer to your prayer and then he loses relationship with you. He gave you the house and then you stop talking to him. He blessed your business and you only come to church on Easter. I wonder what it feels like for us to be in a place where God's saying, yo, all of these things that I wanted for Adam, I wanted for you. So you can live a happily ever after. But if you're going to live a happily ever after, you're going to have to get content with working in a happily ever before. And that's why 1 Corinthians 10:23, there were some people like many of y'all that about to log off right now. You'd be like, I'm grown. I'm a grown person. I've been through life. And these people say, you say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Can I tell you what the benefit of maturing in God is? Is when you can do stuff that's not sin, and you're so mature now that you're not even trying to figure out if it's a sin or not. Like, how many beers can I have before I'm drunk? Because the Bible says, like, I can sip, but I ain't, like, let's go to the reason why you're sipping. Is it for peace? Because if you need peace, there's an alternate. Yeah. And you can still set a good example for your kids. Because do you want your kids to be alcoholics? When they're going through pressure, do you want them to run the pills in a bottle? Or are you doing that to cope? And God says, I can trade you. Trade me your yoke. Give me your burden. I'll do something different for you. But all of us many times never mature to the place where it's like, is that the line? And God's saying is, I'm trying to set parameters for you that may not even be for your neighbor. What happens when God says something for you that doesn't apply for everybody? Wow. Uh-oh. You want to talk about spiritual maturity? You want to talk about when God tells people to give 10% in the word, but he tells you to give 15? What happens when God says you fast every Thursday, even though the church is not on a fast? What happens when God says you go pick up your sister's kids and love on them because they don't have a father and he didn't tell nobody else to do that? God's saying, I'm giving you parameters because I'm trying to build something in you. God's saying, and as I'll do all of that, I'm so good that I'll do all of it before a person. And that's what I want everybody to hear me say. That we think that our presence with another person would make us feel better. And if we're in the right place with the right person, everything will be good. And if we get the right person, maybe we can have provision. And like, hold up. Let me conform my personality to theirs. Y'all ever met those people in relationships that whoever they're dating, they start acting like? Like, are you seawalking right now? Like, Sally, you were just doing cheer practice. You were on the POM squad, and now you like seawalking because you dating Devontae. Stop. Stop it. Why? But this is the key to that thing, that if you don't allow your personality to be defined by God, it will be defined by others. That's why some of y'all this week were looking on Instagram at celebrities and trying to pick your outfit to get a personality like somebody you were never created to be like. I'm in your business and I know it. But what I'm saying is before a person, he wants to give you a personality and he wants you to start walking in your purpose. Purpose is a journey. It's not a destination. You don't get to purpose. You walk in purpose. That's the answer somebody needed. Hand God before a person gives you parameters. Can I show you why this is so important? Okay, so God gives you his presence. He gives you a place. He gives you provision. He says, yeah, I want them to have this right here. And then he says, I'm gonna give them a personality made in my image. I'm gonna start letting them walk in their purpose. And then I'm gonna give them parameters. It's not to keep something from them. It's trying to keep them for something. And then I'll give them another person. Because the other person I'm going to give them is valuable. The other person has purpose too. The other person is delicate and needs to be handled with care. So I need whoever the person is that they're getting with to have a sure foundation. Because this person is going to carry my anointing. And the person I'm allowing you to be in relationship with is going to be filled with things that need to be nurtured and taken care of by somebody who has a sturdy foundation. And so why God wants us to have all of these things before a person is because when the two come together, they should be able to support each other. And this is what a good relationship should look like. But what would happen if I took away the presence of God, the place of God, the provision of God? What would happen if I thought, I don't really need all of that. I only need a couple of these things. Like, I don't really need to be getting my purpose and walking in my purpose. And I'll let my personality be defined by pop culture. Or I won't really have no parameters. If you take away any of the six things that God gave before a person, which one should we take away? Y'all tell me, put it in the chat. Which one? Because some of y'all have different ones. Everybody's not the same. Oh, come on, let's be honest. Some of y'all are in the wrong place. You're in a city right now that God never called you to. Some of you haven't been in the presence of God in years. Some of you right now are providing for yourself and you feel drained. Some of you, your personality, you used to say, I'd never be this. And now you're doing that every week. Your purpose, you don't even know what it is anymore. Your parameters, anybody can run up in you and run through you and run with you because you have no parameters. And God's saying, which one you want me to take? And the enemy would love for every person in here to be deficient and what God wants to supply before a person. And what happens is why we see so many failed relationships and broken things after broken things after broken things is because people stop getting in his presence. Now what has happened? Now what has happened that we just took away one ingredient of the plan of God? The things that are valuable are now broken. And what we do is spend the rest of our life trying to pick up the pieces of relationships that we should have never been in with people who were never built on God's foundation. And so what do? We try again. Relationship after relationship. No, it's going to work this time. They different. They're different than the last guy. They're different than what happened. No. I'm going to try again. I started. I'm going to try again. The problem initially is because you haven't been healed when God tries to pour into you, you can't even hold nothing. And this is what many of our lives look like today. And then we try to raise kids out of this. This is where we try to do business from. This is how we try to love the world, broken. And God says, hey, this is the reason why the person is not where you're supposed to go. If you would give me your pieces, if you would bring your pieces to me, I'll trade you. And I'll give you a new life. I will take everything that the enemy meant for evil, and I will turn it. Any man that be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, I'm making everything. I feel the presence of God in here. And then he says, that's why I'll fill you up again. This is the grace of God, by the way. See, the grace of God looks at your broken pieces and said, I'll give you another chance. The grace of God looks at everything that you messed up and you squandered over. He said, I'll give you another chance. The problem is we go stupid after God heals us. And instead of going back to the person again that is filled with the foundation of God, we keep finding all of these people who are missing an element that God wanted to give all of us before the person. Everybody say before the person. When you get married, young man, young woman, old woman, know your identity in God. Have your personality in him. If you pray, pray out loud. Don't let your husband or your wife or the person you think of, oh, that's too much. Sorry. I'm sorry. This is who I am, and I will not be ashamed by the person I'm supposed to love. I won't let my person, but if you do, If you do let them define you, you take the personality that God intended for you to have and change lives. You take it away. But no. Let's do it quickly. Let's hope that if we do it fast, if it's not that noticeable, if it's not, if everybody can't see it, empty, poured out, broken, trying to figure out our way through life, and what happens? All of us go through this like, oh no, oh, but I didn't break this time. So let me try again. But this time, I'm gonna settle. God, fill me up. He said, I can't do nothing at that level. I intended for this to be something way greater and way bigger. And many of us live our whole life in relationship that settles for less than God's best. And it's crazy that everybody now has to walk through your mess. Like now people who didn't even have nothing to do with it have stains on them. Because you wouldn't get a happily ever before. Today, all I'm saying to you is I don't know where you are in your relationship. And you may be saying, I'm married and I da 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 da. That don't mean you ain't missing some of these things. It don't mean that your personality may need to go back to the presence. And this is the great thing. He built in the answer to everything. If you're missing any one of these, you can go back to his presence. If you're missing the place, if you're missing provision, if you don't know your personality, if you're searching for purpose, if you've gone over the parameters, God is saying today, get back in my presence. And today I feel the Holy Spirit saying that it's time for you to come back home. Because you've been looking for a person to do this, and they'll never be able to fill the place that I was made to fill. What are you trying to say, Pastor Mike? If God isn't enough, no person ever will be. You can keep searching. You can keep running. You can try it 100 more times. I got to pick up all of these relationship pieces. Come on, I'm going to do it again. Second, third, fourth marriage. And God's so good that he says they want to try again. They want to do it again. They want to come at it again. They want to be one that does it again. And God says, hold on, I can't even find my other cup. It's gone right now. But God's saying, can we do it again? Can we make it happen? Do y'all see it? Oh, there it is right there. I need everybody to know right here. God's saying right here in this moment, in this place, in this time, I'll give you the opportunity to try again. But will you come back to my presence so I can fill you all the way up? And this is the thing about God, he never runs out. Today, if you're watching this message, I know it's taken us a moment to get here, but I just feel like somebody really needs this. And you need to go back to God's presence right now and ask him to clarify your place. Ask him to clarify the parameters, the provision. Before the person, God, I need you to clarify these things for me. I want to pray for you. If that's you right now in any area of your life, in any relationship, I want you to lift your hands in your home right now. I feel the presence of God. He's here. Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, I'm praying for you right now. Lift your hands. God, I thank you that in this moment right now, Father God, before the person, we know it's good for us not to be alone and that you want relationship for us. But Father, before the person, you want something for us. You want us to be in your presence. You want us to be in the place you've called us to be. You want us, Father God, to be provided for. You want us to have a personality that looks like you, Father God. You want us, Father God, to be able to live with a purpose and be and parameters. And God, I'm praying that over my brothers and sisters right now. Come on, all over this place, all over the world. God is right now giving a deep conviction is what I feel right now, to be able to stop moving from the place right now and get in his presence. God, we trust you and believe you. I declare that this will be a discovery, that people will have a relationship revelation right now. Father, that you will uncover things about them, Father, before anybody else. Father God, I thank you that you are revealing a playbook right now as to why and how our relationships are going to succeed. And for every person, God, who's frustrated and has been broken and hurt several times, God, I'm thanking you right now that you would be the one to heal, deliver, and set them free. Even in this moment, if you're here and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is where you get to trade your broken pieces and become new. It's what I had to do because I was addicted to pornography, a liar, a manipulator, had horrible things in my heart and in my mind. And God says, if you just believe in me, that I've already sent the payment for this, I'll give you a new container. And today God wants that to happen for you. All over the world, there are people that are about to make this decision. Last week, over 550 people gave their life to Christ in a moment just like this. And right now is your moment. Today is the day of salvation. And at Transformation Church, we don't pray alone. If you're saying, Pastor Mike, I want you to include me in that prayer. Today, I want to give my life to Christ. On the count of three, I just want you to slip your hand up. You don't have to confess everything. You don't have to change yet. You can belong with God and belong at Transformation Church before you behave. God wants to get your heart, and then he'll help you change your habits. But today is the first step. You have to believe in him by faith. If that's you, one, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I am proud of you, but more than that, God is so proud of you. Three, shoot your hand up right now. Listen, I can't see you, but God can. And it doesn't matter who's around you. Right now, you can put your hand down. We're about to pray. And your life is about to transform. In this moment right now, Transformation Nation, can all of us pray this prayer out loud for the benefit of our brothers and sisters that are coming to God? Everybody say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. Thank you that you want a relationship with me before any person. Today, I believe you lived and you died just for me. Change me, renew me, transform me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, all over the world, can we give God some praise for the hundreds and thousands of people that just made that decision? Y'all, I'm so proud of you because God just replaced some people's vases. He just took broken pieces and gave masterpieces. Hey, listen, we want to walk with you. So this is what I need you to do. I need you to text the number on the screen right now. Just text SAVE to that number. And we're going to send you some resources. And I want everybody to make a challenge this week. Everybody, whether this is your first time coming to Christ or you're watching this or somebody sent it to you, for the next 7 days, when you open your eyes, get in his presence. Pray. Read your word. Put on some worship music. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And I believe that your place, your provision, personality, purpose, and parameters will come out of the presence of God. That is a lot of P's, but it's very practical. Another P. I love y'all so much, Transformation Church. Next week, part 6. Pastor Mike, how long is this series is going to last? Till I'm done. I hope it's helping you. And if you want to take this thing further, you can get the resources I talked to you about, the relationship goals, the book, or the study guide. But more than even those resources, man, open the Word of God. And you can find a revelation for your relationship right there. I declare this will be the best week of your life. That everything that you touch, you're going to do and tend to it on purpose, as unto the Lord. I pray over your families, your relationships, and your life, that you are called by God. You are his masterpiece. And more than that, you are loved. Thank you, Father, for everything that you said and did today. And we will be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, we agree. Amen.
Thank you so much for watching this message. And if this has impacted you in any way, I'm asking you to do a couple of things. Number one, join Transformation Nation. Join us right here every Sunday. Gather your friends and your family and be a part of not just this moment, but this movement. The second thing I would ask you to do is share. Share this with your friends, your coworkers, people that are around you, because transformation is just one click away. The last thing I would ask you to do is partner with us financially. If this ministry is impacting your life, transforming you, I would ask you to consider, pray about what you could give to help us take this message to the whole world. I want you to know that we love you and your best days are right in front of you. This week, I want you to live a transformed life. See you next week.